Bill Flores joins us this morning from D.C. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Speaking of that Spurs clip, I wish I'd learned how to shoot free throws.
Yeah, I tell you, they had that one won. They should be on the plane back with the trophy. We'll see what
they
happens.
They sure should.
Let's talk, first of all, about National Security Agency. Where are we right now? I know that there have been some briefings. What basically can you tell us that we didn't know last week?
Well, not a great deal, because the briefings that have been given to us are classified, and so there's not a lot I could talk about, even though some of that information that they present is out in the public domain. Last week, we had a briefing, and the number of plots that had been thwarted was lower than the number that was reported in the hearing yesterday. Now, I'm going to another hearing today, and I'm hoping we can find a way to reconcile this, because I'll be quite frank with you, Scott. I don't trust anything that any of them are saying anymore, and I don't think the American people do either.
No, matter of fact, I think Senator Cruz said that on the floor of the Senate and got his own party mad at him. I think we're all getting to the point where trust is a rare commodity in the Beltway right now.
Well, it is, and it's a shame. I mean, it started with the IRS scandal from a few weeks ago, and it just seems like every time we turn around, Big Brother is watching us, and we can't find out exactly what Big Brother's trying to do.
At what point is it the responsibility of the legislative branch of the government to get this thing taken care of? I mean, really,
always.
When is it the Senate and the House's job to really move forward on this thing?
Well, I think it's always the time to do it. The problem we're having is, well, it's twofold. Number one is, what are they really doing? I mean, I'm not sure that we in Congress have the answer. Now, they all swear that they're giving us the whole truth and nothing but the truth, but there are just too many things that don't add up, and so you can't trust them in light of everything that's happened. Now, the second thing we've got to do is try to find a way to provide for the security of the country but still maintain our liberties and always put liberty over security. And that's where the rubber meets the road in trying to get this right. And I don't know that we've got an answer on that yet, but we're working on it.
John Kerry met with the House leadership yesterday, and again, a classified meeting. But what sense are you getting as far as the situation in Syria?
Well, we've got a real division in the Congress, and I'll tell you, we've got a division in our own ranks on the Republican side. The White House clearly wants to get more involved in Syria. The Congress, I think, we're struggling with this. I think that Syria is not in our national interest to be involved with. And so my vote would be no. But there are some people who think we should. And so I don't know that there's a clear consensus forming yet, but I would suspect in the next couple of weeks we'll have a consensus.
All right.
Now, what the president would do, if he's smart, is come talk to Congress about it and just saying what he's going to do unilaterally, because he doesn't have the constitutional authority to do that.
In Bill Flores' mind, where is that line? Is there some support? Is there no support at all? Where do we go too far as you're concerned with Syria?
Well, I think if we expose taxpayer assets or American lives, then it's too far. I mean, I think our strategic interest in the region is to protect Israel, and I'm not sure that we have much more than that.
All right, so now let's move back to here and immigration, and obviously this is a moving target still. One report says that the Speaker met yesterday and said he wasn't going to move any immigration bill through the House unless he had the support of the Republicans. Is that how you see it?
Yes, I do. No, I believe the Speaker when he said that. There has been a group, and I think there's really only three or four. They say there's 70 of them. But I think there's three or four people that have been trying to amend the House rules to formally adopt the Hastert rule, which says before you can bring something on the floor, you have to have a majority of the majority to support it. The Speaker responded to that yesterday by saying, with respect to immigration, he does not intend to allow something to come to the floor unless it has the majority of the Republicans behind it. I believe him on this, and so I don't know that there's any need to try to do a formal rule change.
Well, of course, you know, there are a lot of Republicans in the House, but Dana Rohrabach says that she believes he's betraying the party and should be removed as Speaker.
I don't see how. I mean, I'm surprised that people say that. You know, John Boehner's a human, and he's not any more perfect than the rest of us, but I think a lot of the rocks that are thrown at him are just unfair, and I think they're cheap shots, and that statement was a cheap shot.
Obviously, the Senate's got to get their part of this thing done, whether or not it works. And I think from every conversation from day one that we have talked about, you've said that the security, the border security, is really the primary thing that has to be settled here.
That's correct. And even when we met with Marco Rubio 2 weeks ago, he said the same thing. He said, look, it's not a perfect bill, and it's not one that he thinks would pass in its current form on the Senate floor. And he thinks that we need to strengthen border security to make it better. We also need to deal with the E-Verify system to make it stronger and also do a better job on the entry-exit tracking than what we do today and than what the Senate has in their bill today.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. I know it is a gigantic bill to talk about, but from the standpoint of your congressional district, what is in the farm bill that is of most interest to your constituents?
Well, I think most of our constituents, particularly those in the ag business, want to see a farm bill passed. Now, this bill, as it came out of committee, has some warts on it that we need to fix, and there are three of them. Number one is we need to deal with the food stamp program to further tighten it up, because that program has doubled over the last 5 years. The second thing we need to do is it's got a dairy supply management provision that reminds me of something that the Soviet Union would have done when it was still in existence. And the third thing, there is a sugar price support program that is not needed in this kind of an environment. I think those things need to come to the floor. There's 103 amendments, including one from me, and I'm hopeful that the good ones of those amendments will get passed and that we can get this thing passed. If we don't, what we wind up with is an out-of-control food stamp program, and we fall back to the Pelosi farm bill from years ago. So I think it's important that this thing get passed, hopefully fixed, as it's on the floor.
Now, again, over 100 amendments. Kind of give us an overview of what your amendment is to that farm bill.
Well, as we've talked about in the past, the president signed an executive order a few years ago called Ocean and Marine Special Planning, which is basically zoning the oceans and the sources thereof, which means that theoretically the federal government can regulate what a farmer does on his or her land. And my amendment strips out the ability of the federal government to do that.
I want to kind of get away from politics for just a minute, because there was a somewhat controversial or newsworthy situation that took place in Joshua, and a young man had the valedictorian speech. Go ahead and tell us that story, if you would.
Sure. Remington Reimer is a young man, and as our listeners may know, Joshua used to be in District 17. He was in the National Junior ROTC. I presented an award to him last year that was one of the top junior ROTC persons in the country. And when he was giving his valedictory speech, he strayed from the language that the school had reviewed and pre-approved, and so they cut his microphone off. I have some problems with that. I think that he was perfectly within his First Amendment rights to talk about his faith, and that I think this school was inappropriate to try to censor him. This young man also applied for an appointment to the Naval Academy. I nominated him. He's been accepted, and I stand with this man. The principal of the school has said that he was going to try to ruin his chances to get to the Naval Academy, and I'll be there going to the mat for him. Every time the principal does something, I'll try to do 10 things more to help this young man keep his appointment.
The principal's going to try that, really?
That's what he said. Now, I think he did that in a heat of emotions, and I think he's probably wishing he hadn't said it.
Yeah, well, there's some embarrassment to go around, I guess. Thanks for the time this morning.
Good talk to you, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women. Of course, you saw we lost another Aggie last week in Afghanistan.
Right. Thank you.